Cornell Wilde, Richard Conte, Brian Donlevy, Gene Wallace. In The Big Combo by Philip Yordan, with narrative description by Audiovision. Featuring Robert Middleton, Lee Van Cleef, Earl Holliman, Helen Walker, Jay Adler, John Hoyt, Ted DeCorsia, Helen Stanton. With Roy Gordon, Whit Bissell, Steve Mitchell, Baines Barron, James McCallion, Tony Michaels, Brian O'Hara, Rita Gould, Bruce Sharp, Michael Mark, Jacob Gimple, piano soloist. Gene Wallace's wardrobe designed by Don Loper. Production manager, George Moskov. Production designer, Rudy Feld. Film editor, Robert Eisen. Music editor, Robert Tracy. Assistant directors, Mac Wright, Robert Justman. John Alton, director of photography. Music by David Raxson. Produced by Sidney Harmon. Directed by Joseph Lewis. On a busy downtown street, a traffic cop waits for a streetcar to pass before escorting a group of pedestrians to a crowded arena, where two boxers slug it out in the ring. A beautiful woman in a cocktail dress and heels scuttles down a back hallway. One man cuts her off, and another runs up behind her. She turns a corner, and the two men follow. She runs through the shadowy corridors of the arena, with the two men close behind her. They dash toward a lobby, where an older man in a fedora stands at a snack bar. The two men catch her.
Please let me go.
We can't do that, Miss Lowell. Mr. Brown wants you to see the fight. It's only the third round.
I'll go back. Just let me go by myself.
Mr. Brown is mad already. We lost you for 2 minutes.
I promise I won't run away. Where would I go?
All right. Let her go.
She hits one of the men. Then walks away. But stops and thinks, clutching her purse. The two men advance on her.
I've changed my mind. I don't want to see the fights. I'm hungry. Call a cab.
Call a cab.
But Mr. Brown,
Mr. Brown says to keep her happy. Call a cab.
The younger of the two men, Mingo, walks off while his partner, Fanti, leads the woman through the lobby. Standing at the snack bar, the man in the fedora sets down his cup of coffee and walks away. Stopping, he watches Fanti leave with the woman. Soon after, a patrol car pulls into a police station parking garage. A balding man in a suit walks into the station and approaches a detective.
93rd Precinct, Sergeant Lee.
Sir, Captain Peterson.
Yes, sir, I know, sir.
Lieutenant?
He's off duty, sir.
But he's still in his office.
I know.
Captain Peterson steps into a private office where a handsome young lieutenant eats at his cluttered desk.
Good to see you relaxed for a change.
Well, evening, Captain. Anything urgent?
Urgent?
No.
Anything urgent, I leave to my subordinates.
There's some good 10-cent cigars in that box.
Thanks, no, I'm off cigars. Brandy, my doctor's got me off everything worth living for. Almost. Leonard.
Yes, sir.
There's got to be a stop to your complete disregard of the taxpayers' money.
I paid for this apple out of my own pocket, Captain.
Leonard, you've spent $18,600 in the last 6 months investigating one man, a single man.
Brown's not a man. He's an organization. And I need money to fight money.
Now, look, Lieutenant, I've got nothing against you personally. I admire you. You've got too many brains, but that's not your fault. Now, what about this $18,600? How am I going to explain this to the commissioner?
Well, I dictated an explanation if you want to use it.
Leonard Diamond turns on a dictation recorder.
Memorandum to Captain Peterson covering expenditures of the 93rd Precinct Station. The combination is growing stronger every day. The only way to crush it is to get the top man. When Grazzi left the country, Brown...
Peterson turns it off.
What do you think this is, a homicide investigation? You're dealing with the largest pool of illegal money in the world. You're fighting a swamp with a teaspoon. Combination keeps no books, no records. Everything's run on word of mouth and hard cash.
That's their one weakness.
What?
They have to have a treasurer.
So?
And I know his name. The name of a man who can pick up a phone and call Chicago and New Orleans and say, hey, Bill, Joe's coming down for the weekend. Advance him $50,000. And he hangs up the phone and the money's advanced. Protection money. The new all-night bar opens with gambling outside city limits. A bunch of high school kids come in for a good time. They get loaded. They get irresponsible. They lose their shirts. And they get a gun. Because they're worried. They want to make up their losses. And a filling station attendant is dead with a bullet in his liver. And I have to see four kids on trial for first-degree murder. Look at it. First-degree murder because a certain Mr. Brown picked up the phone.
You can't touch Brown. He's clean. We got nothing on him. Not even the parking.
Now, why is he so careful? It's unnatural.
You can't tell a jury a man's guilty because he's too innocent to
be
natural.
He's no more innocent than this gun.
Oh, now, stop getting emotional, Leonard. He's innocent until he's proven guilty.
Yes, Captain.
Is there anything else, Captain?
Diamond grabs his coffee mug.
Yes. Yeah. Girl. Susan Lowell. You've had a tail on her for 6 months. Yeah. Why?
She's Brown's girl. She's our most valuable lead. We know next to nothing about Brown, but... a woman knows. She makes it her business to know. If I can get hold of her and make her talk...
Oh, Leonard, you spent 6 months trying. She went to Vegas, you went to Vegas.
Yeah.
She flew to Cuba, you flew to Cuba. Couldn't get authorization for the expense. Paid it out of your own pocket.
I had to. You wouldn't back me up.
Well, I'm not in love with her, Leonard. You are.
Diamond halts, then drops a crushed sugar cube into his coffee. Standing... he rubs his jaw.
This is off the record, Lenny. It's between friends.
Diamond picks up an electric razor.
Try to face facts. You can't bear to think of her in the arms of this hood. Forget her.
Trying to ignore Peterson, Diamond continues shaving.
You're a cop, Leonard. There's 17,000 laws on the books to be enforced. You haven't time to reform wayward girls. Been with Brown 3.5 years. It's a lot of days and nights. Face it, Leonard.
He stops shaving.
Glad you agree.
With a pat on the arm, Peterson heads to the door. At a formal restaurant, the blonde woman, Susan, ignores her meal while Fanti and Mingo dig into theirs. An older gentleman checks his hat as he enters the restaurant. Spotting him, Susan gets up, but Fanti stops her.
Just don't run away. We'd only have to come after you. Mr. Brown wouldn't like that.
Pushing past him, Susan hurries to the gentleman.
Mr. Audubon.
Susan! Well, I'm glad to see you.
How are you? It's been years.
Well, you look so different somehow, Susan. I hardly recognized you.
Oh, I'm just the same, Mr. Audubon.
How's your lovely mother?
She's in England someplace. I haven't kept track.
Well, I should think you'd have gone along. I hear that Bladovich is playing a Beethoven cycle.
Oh, I haven't the interest I once had in the piano, Mr. Audubon.
Well, now I'm disappointed. You don't play anymore?
The only thing I play now, Mr. Audubon, is stud poker.
She wavers unsteadily, but quickly recovers.
Will you dance with me, Mr. Audubon?
Why, certainly, Sue. You all right?
Oh, of course, of course. Course.
Under Fanti and Mingo's watchful gaze, they step onto the dance floor.
The day, Mr. Brown, let's go our little lady.
I'll do it personally.
Susan drifts woozily as she dances with Audubon.
Mr. Audubon.
Susan.
I've taken some pills. I think I've died.
Susan!
She collapses, and Mingo and Fanti run to her.
You just fell over.
Oh,
Picking her up, they carry her away, leaving her purse behind. A man drops a newspaper over it, then bends down to covertly scoop it up. It's the man with the fedora. Meanwhile, in the arena change room, two men in suits meet with a battered boxer.
How do you feel now, Benny?
Lost. I feel terrible, Mr. Brown.
You kept fighting, Benny. You've got heart.
Lost three of my teeth, too.
All right, so you lost. Next time you'll win. I'll show you how. Take a look at Joe McClure here. He used to be my boss. Now I'm his. What's the difference between me and him? We breathe the same air, sleep in the same hotel. He used to own it!
Brown screams into Joe's hearing aid.
Now it belongs to me. We eat the same steaks, drink the same bourbon. Look, same manicure, same cufflinks. But there's only one difference. We don't get the same girls. Why? Because women know the difference. They got instinct. First is first and second is nobody.
The best man won tonight, Mr. Brown.
You were better than Martinez. Only you threw it away. You step in the ring and shake hands with him. You want to be his friend and you want to fight him. No, Benny, no.
Mr. Brown,
shut the door.
Fanti closes the door.
Now, Benny, who runs the world? Have you any idea?
Not me, Mr. Brown.
That's right, not you. But a funny thing. They're not so much different from you. But they've got something. They've got it and they use it. I've got it. He hasn't. So what is it, Benny? What makes the difference?
Brown lifts Benny's chin.
Hate. Hate is the word, Benny. Hate the man who tries to beat you. Kill him, Benny, kill him. Hate him till you see red and you'll come out winning the big money. And the girls will come tumbling after. You'll have to shut off your phone and lock the door to get a night's rest. Get on your feet, Benny.
Benny stands and Brown slaps him, making Joe flinch.
What'd you do that for, Mr. Brown?
You should have hit me back. You haven't got the hate. Tear up Benny's contract. He's no good to me anymore.
The slight, dapper Brown opens the door.
Where's Susan? In the car?
I tried to tell you before, Mr. Brown.
Tell me what?
She's in General Hospital.
What happened?
Just took some pills.
Get the car and bring it around. Buy me some cigarettes.
Staring at a headshot of a beautiful woman with bangs, Diamond stands alone in his office when the man in the fedora, Sam, walks in.
4th and Broadway. Five.
He shows Diamond the purse and dumps its contents onto his desk. Diamond picks up an empty pill bottle.
Where is she? General Hospital. She's dying.
Grabbing his jacket, Diamond hurries out the door. Soon after, at the hospital, a uniformed officer stands outside a private room as Diamond walks out.
You can take her to the prison ward now.
Hello, Lieutenant. This is Mr. Brown.
Joe stops Diamond while Brown sits smoking.
What do you want, Mr. Brown?
Joe, tell the man I want her out.
Mr. Brown would like to have Miss Lowell released. He'll put her in a private hospital.
Is your relative?
Not exactly.
Married to her?
Just a personal friend.
Yeah, visiting days are Tuesdays and Fridays. I don't know how you two got in here. You can get out the way you
tell
came.
Tell the man not to get excited.
Mr. Brown is a very reasonable man. You don't know him.
Oh, is he? Well, I'm not. And I intend to make life very difficult for your Mr. Brown.
You shouldn't talk like that, Lieutenant. You're overstepping your authority.
Joe, the man has reason to hate me. His salary is $96.50 a week. The busboys in my hotel make better money than that. Don't you see, Joe, he's a righteous man. Personal feelings mean nothing to him. My girl's dying in a public hospital and I want her out.
She's under arrest, Mr. Brown.
What's the charge?
Homicide.
It's ridiculous. She wouldn't kill a fly. She'd
try to kill herself.
Is that a crime?
It happens to be against two laws, God's and man's. I'm booking her under the second.
Tell the man if he puts her on trial, I'll...
They all turn to see Susan's gurney being wheeled into the hall. The beautiful young woman is barely conscious.
Alicia. Alicia.
Susan.
Stay away from the prisoner, Mr. Brown.
Susan, are you all right?
Brown, stay where you are.
Susan.
Brown stops and watches Susan being wheeled away.
Joe, tell the man I'm going to break him so fast he won't have time to change his pants. Tell him the next time I see him, he'll be down in the lobby of the hotel crying like a baby and asking for a $10 loan. Tell him that. And tell him I don't break my word.
He must have done something pretty fine to get as high as you are, Mr. Brown. I'm looking into that. I'm going to open you up and I'm going to operate. I hate to think of what I'll find.
Diamond walks away.
But I tell you, Joe, a righteous man.
Soon after, in a recovery room...
Miss Lowell? Do you hear me, Miss Lowell?
Susan opens her eyes and sees Diamond hovering over her.
Are you a doctor?
My name is Diamond. I'm a detective.
You let me alone.
I have to ask you certain questions and you'll have to answer.
I feel so cold. Can't they turn on the heat?
He turns to a nurse.
Can you get some hot coffee, please?
If you'd get up and walk, you'd be a lot better off.
I want to go to sleep. Just let me sleep.
Just take some of this. Come on.
You're very kind. Everyone's kind. I don't deserve it.
Come on, I'll take a little of it.
She sips the coffee.
That's it.
It's good.
Why did you try to kill yourself?
Oh, I don't know why. I can't remember. Please let me go to sleep.
Were you jealous? Is that why? Was there another woman?
Please, please.
There was another woman, wasn't there?
Just
you mentioned her name, Alicia, is that right?
He sits her upright.
What about Alicia? Was Mr. Brown seeing Alicia?
No, I don't know. I don't know who she is.
Then how do you know her name?
I don't know.
You must know. You kept repeating it. Where'd you first hear it?
I never heard it. I saw it.
Where'd you see it? On a letter?
In his apartment. It was raining outside and... there was a mist on the window. He was writing a name on it with his finger like this. A moist glass. Alicia. And when he saw me, he rubbed it out. Oh, I'm so cold.
Where's Alicia now?
I don't know.
Didn't you ask him?
He wouldn't tell me. What was that?
Oh, diesel truck's going by. It's almost morning. Was Brown upset when you asked him about Alicia?
I don't know any Alicia. Don't touch me. Go away. Please go away.
You think you're the bright, respectable girl you were 4 years ago. You're not. You attempted suicide. You're under arrest. You could be sentenced to jail for 6 months.
Nurse, may I have some water, please?
Miss Lowell, answer one question.
No.
Who is Alicia?
You tell me.
Get on your feet.
Sam walks in.
There's a man downstairs with a writ of habeas corpus.
Already?
McClure wouldn't let go.
You know what habeas corpus means, Sam?
I know what it does.
It's Latin. It means you may have the body. Mr. Brown may have it.
Sam and Diamond step into the hall.
Sam. We're going to find out who Alicia is. I want you to pick up every hooder who works for Brown. And pick up Brown himself.
Soon after, a car pulls up to the detective bureau. A string of handcuffed men are escorted inside. A patrol car drives up as the first car pulls away. Several more handcuffed men are taken inside. Crowded cell, Joe approaches Mingo and Fanti.
What's happened?
He's crazy.
Who?
Diamond, he's crazy.
What happened, McClure?
When they picked us up, I mentioned your name. You know what they said?
Quit shaking. What'd he ask you?
A girl's name. That's all he could ask me. He just kept asking me this girl's name. Like he was nuts.
He's crazy.
What girl?
They knocked it out of my head. I don't. Alice something or another. Alicia, that's what it was. Alicia.
What'd you tell him?
Exactly what I know. Nothing.
That's right, Fanny. You know nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Don't forget it.
Joe walks off and peers out through the bars.
I got a right to make a phone call.
What do you want to call?
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown's a little busy right now in conference with Mr. Diamond.
In an interrogation room.
No, legally, I don't have to submit to this test.
I know. We appreciate your cooperation, Mr. Brown.
And if I say no?
Well, if you say no, I have a lot of questions to ask. You may be sitting in that chair for a couple of days. This way I can tell if you're lying in a few minutes.
Well, go ahead, lad. Let's get it over with. Picking me up for peddling without a license. You could have thought of something better than that, Lieutenant.
I'd prefer it to be suspicion of murder, but we had none today.
I would have been happy to accommodate you. A police lieutenant.
Diamond nods to the polygraph operator.
Now, I'm going to say one word at a time. Most of them won't mean a thing to you. But I want you to say whatever pops into your head. Like if I say sweet,
I say sugar.
If I say police,
I say 9650.
Apple.
Pear.
Blue.
Ocean.
Brown.
Mr. Brown to you. Only my friends call me Brown.
Water.
Whiskey.
Gun.
Permit.
Spaghetti.
Bettini.
The needles on the polygraph jump.
What? What's that?
What's what?
Bettini.
Spaghetti joint on the north side.
Since when? Never heard of it.
You couldn't afford it.
Go ahead.
Women.
Expensive.
Snow.
White.
Alicia.
The needles jump again.
What was the name again?
A woman's name. Alicia.
No.
No what?
I said no. You want me to say it again?
You know Alicia, don't you?
Sure.
Who is she?
A two-year-old filly that broke her leg in the Jamaica Stakes. I lost $10,000.
You were lying, Mr. Brown. When you heard Alicia, your heart went bang. You don't lie with your blood pressure. You know what this means? It means you're scared. And Mr. Brown isn't scared of a horse. Who is she? What does she mean to you?
Brown stands.
That's a crime. Book me.
He pulls off the polygraph sensors.
Book me, small change.
All right, take him out, Sam.
To the bullpen?
No, back to the gutter.
Sam leads Brown out. Later, in Diamond's office.
Mr. Brown is a very influential citizen. I ducked 14 calls from the commissioner today. The 15th caught me. One more call and I'm out.
Peterson confers with Diamond.
Leonard, what were you doing? Just give me one possible explanation. That's all I ask.
I was following a lead. I was being logical.
96 false arrests. How am I going to explain?
You only have to explain 95.
Sam walks in.
Sam, what'll I do with Leonard? Tell me what to do.
Just give me another 18,000 for the Brown case.
The Brown case is closed. Kaput Schluss. The end. No more. Case closed.
Peterson strides out the door.
Hey, Sam. What was the name of that hood we failed to pick up?
Ralph Bettini.
How long ago did he drop out of sight?
About 7 years ago. Why?
That's about the same time that Grazzi left the country and Brown took over.
Yeah, so?
Take a look at that graph.
Sam checks the polygraph test.
See how it jumped after he said Bettini? The Bettini's was the only warrant we failed to serve.
He hasn't been around for years. Maybe he's dead.
No, he's not. I checked the morgue, the files, there's nothing.
Why don't you go home? Get some rest.
I've got a call to make first.
Leonard, Peterson meant what he said. You cross him, means we're both out.
What can we lose? $96.50 a week?
Diamond drives across town. Rides across a busy downtown street and walks past a nightclub. Turning to the door, Diamond spots a beautiful woman with bangs leaving the club. He rounds the corner into an alley behind the club, where a group of women step out the back door. approaches him.
Oh, you've certainly got a nerve.
Hi, Rita.
What's on your mind? As if I didn't know.
Oh, thought maybe we could go dancing.
I've been dancing, Lieutenant. Furthermore, you haven't been around here for 6 months. And furthermore, if you want a date, do what the others do. Call me first. A week in advance.
Well, Rita, I'm giving a party tonight. I thought maybe you'd like to come.
Party? Who's going to be there?
Just you and me.
Joke stinks. Lieutenant, either book me or let go my arm.
He strides away.
Leonard. Leonard!
When he returns to her, she kisses him.
Take me to the party.
They walk past a poster of Rita as a nightclub showgirl.
You're a beautiful girl, Rita.
They kiss in Diamond's apartment.
But you're stupid.
Can't say anything nice without spoiling it.
Why do you waste your time with a cop?
Could get me a nice rich hoodlum. You should be able to recommend one with your connections.
What is there about a hoodlum that appeals to certain women?
Hoodlums, detectives. Woman doesn't care how a man makes his living. Only how he makes love. Who is she, Leonard? I'm stupid, Leonard. About everything but men. Them, I know. Give me my shoes. I'm going home.
He picks up her sleek black heels.
Put them on for me.
And slips them onto her arched feet.
When she hurts you again, baby, don't wait 6 months.
At a swish apartment across town, Susan leans against a bar with a drink, listening to a record. Brown walks in.
Yes, I'm having a drink. Well, don't look at me as if I were a lush.
That music, turn it off.
I enjoy it.
I said turn it off.
She heads to the record player.
What are we so cheerful about today?
Where did you get that outfit?
What's wrong with it?
I like you better in white. You've got a dozen white dresses. Why don't you wear them?
White doesn't please me anymore.
A woman dresses for a man. You dress for me. Go put on something white.
I won't.
What's the matter with you?
What have I done now?
Before I came in, when you were playing that record, what were you thinking?
I was trying to remember how I fell in love with you.
That's so hard to remember.
A girl's first love shouldn't be. It should be your only. Maybe that's why I can't leave you.
We'll talk about love some other time. Do you know what I've been doing? What's been happening?
People tell me all sorts of things. I don't listen.
I didn't ask you before. You were sick. What did Diamond tell you?
He grabs her.
Diamond. Lieutenant Diamond. Detective. 93 Precinct. He grilled you for 3 hours in the hospital. What did he tell you?
Kept asking me about a girl.
What girl?
Her name was Alicia.
Who's she?
I don't know. He was very insistent.
What was her name again?
Alicia.
Brown smiles.
Doesn't mean a thing to me.
He grabs her face and kisses her forcefully.
Susan, tell me, come on. What's bothering you?
I hate and despise you.
Susan, what are you trying to do? Drive me bats?
He grabs the back of her neck.
What do you want, Susan? Tell me. I'll give you anything you want. Tell me.
Nothing.
Anything at all.
Nothing.
Standing behind her, he kisses her neck and down her back. At the station, Diamond steps out of his office.
Lieutenant, you had a call while the captain was in. I didn't want to disturb you.
Who?
She just said Rita. She wanted to see you and said you'd know where.
Went out 21 on my last call. Is that 14394?
Leaving the station, Diamond heads to the alley behind the nightclub. He steps inside through the back door.
Say, Lieutenant.
Hi, Pop.
If you're looking for Rita, she's in our dressing
room. Thanks.
He barges into Rita's dressing room as she changes into her skimpy costume.
Certainly took your time getting here.
Oh, come on. I've had a bad day. Don't give me any more.
What I've got to tell you is not good. Fix this for me, Lee.
I'll tell it.
He does up her top.
From your court, pinching half the town. There's a big mat on you, and it's burning all over.
Is that it?
They're quoting a price on you. You'd better take a vacation.
Where'd you hear?
It's all around. I picked up bits here and there. What are you going to do?
It's what I've been doing, only more.
Are you trying to get yourself killed, Leonard?
Brown doesn't kill to get what he wants. He buys.
Then you'd better sell out or start running.
Are you really worried about me?
A little.
That's enough.
It's a lot from me. That's the music.
She hurries into the hall.
Leonard.
Yeah?
When will I see you again?
Well, if I'm not dead, you'll find me where I always am, in jail.
She runs to the stage, but he holds her and pulls her in for a kiss before she goes. Diamond steps back into the foggy alley. Someone slugs him. Diamond fights back and grabs his attacker's gun. As he shoots the man in the hand, another attacker knocks him out.
Let's get him out of here.
With his hands tied behind his back, Diamond sits unconscious on a wooden chair. Mingo stands over him with a bandaged hand, and Joe lights a cigarette.
When's he gonna wake up? Christmas?
Shoot me with my own gun. That's what gets me. Fanny, let me wake him up.
Leave him alone. Mr. Brown doesn't want to draw any blood or show any marks. Now, talk to Mr. Brown.
Joe hangs up the phone.
Let me have him, Fanny. 2 minutes is all I'll need.
What for?
I want to ask him one question.
All right, go ahead. It's all yours. But first... Hey.
Fanny, we're friends. You don't hold up a friend. Didn't Mr. Brown pay you?
You're not Mr. Brown. For Mr. Brown, I'd snatch a judge from a superior court for a chocolate soda. Same goes for Mingo. Right, Mingo?
Yeah.
How much?
100. For Mingo, too.
What?
100 each.
Joe pays Fanty.
Mingo.
Fanty gives Mingo his cut.
Thanks, Fanny.
I'll ask him all the questions you want.
Joe advances on Diamond. He slaps him, but he doesn't come to. He slaps him again.
What did you pick me up for?
He backhands him, but Diamond remains unconscious.
I asked you a question. Why did you pick me up? I'm talking to you. Answer me. Why'd you pick me up?
Brown walks in.
There he is, Mr. Brown. I was softening him up for you. I did a pretty good job.
I told you not to touch him.
I didn't hurt him. We're still legal.
The trouble with you, McClure, is that you never took time to learn technique. Fanty, Mingo, bring that radio over here.
Diamond slowly comes to.
Turn it on.
As Fanty turns on the radio, Brown reaches for Joe's hearing aid.
I only want to borrow it, Joe.
He takes the earpiece, and Joe hands him the amplifying box from his pocket.
Will Joey Cohen please look under the Frigidaire? Here's one of their current progenies, Mutton.
We're going to give the lieutenant a little concert.
Brown slips the earpiece in Diamond's ear.
That's it. Too loud, turn it down.
He holds the amplifier to his mouth.
Can you hear me, Lieutenant?
Diamond flinches.
I just want to ask you one question, and then you can go. What are you looking for? Maybe I can help you. What about Alicia? What's your information? Arresting all my friends. Phony warrants. What's behind it?
Diamond twitches with every screamed word.
Mingo, try it.
As Diamond reels in agony, Joe looks on with concern.
Now don't be stubborn, Lieutenant.
What about Alicia?
Why don't you ask yourself?
Brown holds the amplifier to the radio and Diamond squirms in pain.
There's a nice break coming up, a kid on drums. Real crazy.
You like crazy drums, Lieutenant? Have a good time.
Diamond struggles through the glaring noise, and Joe touches his own ear, imagining the pain. Diamond passes out. Brown pulls the earpiece out of his ear.
I think Mr. Diamond needs a drink. Got any liquor?
Joe takes back his hearing aid.
How about some paint thinner?
No, that'll kill him. Anything else?
Air tonic, 40% alcohol.
Fine.
Vanti tosses him the bottle.
Come down here and hold his head, Vanti.
With Vanti holding Diamond's head, Brown pours the hair tonic down his throat. He starts to come to, but Brown keeps pouring. Joe squints with disgust as Brown pours the entire bottle into Diamond.
I let him go. Shove him off.
With a push from Fanti, Diamond stumbles across the basement room. He collapses onto a staircase.
Look at that drunken cop. Isn't that a shame?
Later, in the hallway of an apartment building, Diamond is dragged by Fanti and Mingo.
Hold.
Fanti tucks Diamond's pistol into his waistband. They lead him to a door, then run away, leaving him wobbling. Peterson answers.
Diamond, what are you doing here? Well, well, Leonard, you're drunk. My congratulations. Come in.
Diamond passes out. Later, he rinses out his ear in Peterson's apartment.
Call him. Grab one of my own officers. Slug him. Torture him. You were right, Leonard. They're afraid of something.
Alicia.
Well, that's a start. Let's go to work on Brown.
I'd like to start by picking up Brown and company.
No, you can't. They outsmarted you. Take a look in the mirror. There's not a mark on you. You were drunk. You came here on your own. That's the defense. And it's airtight, Leonard. That's why Brown delivered you here. His chief witness is me, Peterson. Oh, I'm sorry, Leonard. Alicia. We don't know if it's a horse, a boat, or a girl. What else have you got?
Another name cropped up, Bettini.
Bettini?
Heavy room.
Yeah, where does he fit in?
Out of 97 warrants, he was the only one we couldn't pick up. He turned up again on Brown's lie detection.
Sit down, Leonard. He was Grazzi's right-hand man. Before Brown. Before McClure, from my generation. He dropped out when Grazzi had to leave the country.
Not dead?
No, scared. He didn't fit in with Brown's new setup. None of the old crowd did. Bettini didn't wait around and get himself killed. Turned honest citizen. Changed his name, went into hiding.
You know where?
I did him a favor once. Could have put him away for something he didn't do. I let it pass. He didn't deserve it, considering all the times he was guilty. I didn't have the evidence.
Well, tell me where to find him.
Oh, he's scared, Leonard. Too scared to talk.
If he's that scared, he'll listen.
Later, a car pulls into a parking lot in an industrial part of town. Diamond gets out and makes his way to a second floor flat. Inside, Bettini, a tired man in a housecoat, makes spaghetti. He freezes.
Come in.
Diamond walks in with his hand in his pocket.
Not yet. Just a minute. That's all I ask, just a minute. Let me turn off the stove. Could cause a fire. Lots of nice old people in the building, okay? been waiting for you a long time. You look like such a nice young fellow. That Brown sure knows how to pick him. I would never have suspected. Can I lie down? Make it easier.
Bettini steps to a sofa.
Come closer. One shot ought to do it.
You're not going to die, Mr. Bettini.
I've got no money to offer you.
I've got something to offer you.
Don't fool with me, young fella. Get it over with.
Mr. Brown didn't send me. My name is Diamond, Lieutenant Diamond, 93rd Precinct.
He shows his badge.
If you'll help me, I can put your nightmare away.
I can't. I can't even help myself. How can I help you?
I'm looking for a name. Alicia. You ever hear of her? Mean anything to you?
Bettini sits up.
Alicia was Brown's wife.
Who told you?
She told me. She was a good girl. Helped you right off the farm. Brown married her when he was a prison guard. 2 years later, she was a lush, drink anything. Then Brown got tired of her. So he got rid of her.
Take your time, Mr. Bettini.
He was on Grazia's boat 3 days out for Portugal. Alicia came to the table drunk. Brown told her to go sleep it off. She called him a name. Grazia laughed. Now Brown. I remember the look on Brown's face. And then he hit her. And she got up from the table and she pulled off a wedding ring. It was hard to pull off. It must have been grown to a finger. She pulled it off and threw it in the ocean.
Then what?
And she went to a cabin. I never seen her again.
What happened to her?
He gives a thumbs down.
How do you know?
I know Brown.
I know Brown, too. That's no evidence.
Then there was the ship's anchor.
What about it?
We stopped at the Azores, and the skipper went ashore and got another one.
You think she was murdered, then tied to the ship's anchor and dropped into the sea?
I don't know which came first. I jumped ship at the moment we landed.
Who was the skipper?
Some Swede.
What was his name?
I never talked to the man.
What did he look like?
A uniform. Who looks in the uniform?
Bettini crosses the room.
It's important, Mr. Bettini. If the anchor was used, the skipper would surely know. He'd have to be paid off or killed off. Now try, please try to remember his name.
Go away, leave me alone. 7 years I don't talk to nobody, now I talk too much.
You'll have to come with me, Mr. Bettini.
You're locking me up?
The next stranger who comes in won't be from the police. He'll be safer with us.
Taking off his house coat, Bettini pulls on a jacket.
You better pack your things.
I got them all on me. Except this.
With the house coat draped over his arm, Bettini grabs his hat and stands face to face with Diamond.
How come a nice guy like you is a cop?
Just lucky, I guess.
You like antiques, officer?
Who can afford them?
If you're a captain on a boat bound for Portugal, you keep your mouth shut. You can buy a lot of antiques. Maybe a whole store full.
he stares at a calendar from Nils Dreyer Antiques. Soon after...
That is what I've been telling you for the last 5 minutes, but you don't listen.
As a slim man talks on the phone in an antique store, Diamond walks in.
Min älskling. Jag hämta dig om en halvtimmen. Jo, vi kan ha ett par cocktailar och sedan gå till utställningen. Bra. Hej då, älskling.
He hangs up.
What can I do for you, sir?
I'm Lieutenant Diamond, police.
Diamond? Expensive name. Ha ha.
I won't take much of your time, Mr. Dreyer. I just want to ask you a few questions.
Please.
It's about a large purchase you made.
Yeah, well, I have complete books. Every dollar is there in black and white, unless it goes in the red.
this purchase was made in 1946.
1946? I'm sorry I was not in business then. So I can't help you.
I was hoping you'd have some record. It's about the purchase of an anchor.
I don't understand.
In 1946, you were skipper of a private boat, bound from New York Harbor for Lisbon, Portugal. On the way, you stopped at the Azores and bought a new anchor. Why?
Dreyer walks across the store.
I don't understand.
Well, try a little harder.
You don't know me. I'm very stupid.
The boat was a cabin cruiser owned by Grazzi. It's now being operated by a Mr. Brown. You know Mr. Brown?
I had lunch with him last week. He's a very fine gentleman.
He's a hoodlum.
Because I have lunch with him, that is not a crime. I have lunch with anybody. I'm democratic. I'll even have lunch with you.
Who paid for this shop?
Me, Dreyer.
You, Dreyer, borrowed the money from the Bolomac Corporation. The Bolomac Corporation is Brown, or Brown and Grazzi. Mr. Brown doesn't pay money for nothing. What makes you so valuable to Mr. Brown? What do you have on him?
My name is Nils Dreyer. I live at 821 Mason Avenue. That is all I have to tell you.
You know, Mr. Dreyer, things changed since I walked in here. Brown knows I'm here. He knows I'm talking to you.
I said nothing.
Yeah, but Brown doesn't know that. In exchange for information, Mr. Dreyer, I'll give you protection. I'll do better than that. I'll put you in jail.
Suppose you put me in jail. The man in the next cell happens to have a gun. Boom. One dead Swede. Thank you very kindly. I'll remain stupid. How did you get in here, sir? The store is closed. I'm late for an appointment, if you'll excuse me.
Mr. Dreyer, the secret you think keeps you safe will blow up in your face. You're dealing with a ruthless man.
Mr. Diamond, I was a seaman for 30 years. I went to sea aged 14. I've seen storms, I've seen gunfire, I've seen torpedoes. I've been wrecked not once, 4 times. On a raft, 37 days, nothing but water. Nothing kills me. I'll die in Stockholm like my great-grandfather, age 93. I'm not scared of anyone, including you, so get out.
If you change your mind, Mr. Dreyer, just phone the 93rd Precinct. I'll send a squad car for you.
Dreyer follows Diamond to the door and locks it behind him. He answers the phone.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
He hangs up, then opens his desk drawer and pulls out a small gun. Turning out the desk lamp, Dreyer pulls on his hat and heads to the back door. He steps outside. Brown walks into the basement storage room where Fanti, Mingo, and Joe are waiting.
Sit down, Joe.
Joe sits down at a table with Fanti and Mingo.
I
I wanted him here alive. What happened?
He had a gun, didn't he, Fanny?
He had a gun, all right, Mr. Brown.
I told you to go without guns. Which one of you changed my mind?
I didn't have any gun with me.
Mingo.
It wasn't me, I swear.
Well, he pulled a gun on me. What'd you want me to do?
With your kind of brain, there was nothing else he could do. Now listen to me, you two. Go about your business. Go where you ordinarily go. Do what you ordinarily do. If they ask questions, say nothing.
He turns to Joe.
And you, get upstairs, go to bed. Stay there. You've been sick, you understand? Sick. And if they take you to police headquarters, shoot yourself in the head. It'll make everything a lot simpler. Now get out.
Fanti and Mingo leave. Joe follows them.
Joe. Come here.
Hat in hand, Joe steps up to Brown.
Why did you do it, Joe?
I told you he pulled a gun on me.
I'm trying to run an impersonal business. Killing is very personal. Once it gets started, it's hard to stop. I could understand it if you were a trigger-happy punk, but you're not. You're an experienced man, Joe. Why did you do it?
I guess I'm getting too old to handle a gun.
Yeah. Maybe you're just getting too old, Joe. You don't like me much, do you? You figure when Grazi left the country, you should have taken over instead of me. Isn't that it?
No, the job's too big for me.
Yeah. You say that, but you don't mean it. Give me a gun, Joe.
Joe slowly draws his gun. He aims at Brown. Then hands it over.
See what I mean, Joe? 2 seconds ago, you had this gun in your hand. We're all alone here. The thought of using it flashed through your mind. But you couldn't. If you didn't hesitate to use it on Dreyer, why? Because he was a little man, Joe. Like you, a little man. You got a soft job and good pay. Stop thinking about what might have been. And who knows? You may live to die in bed. That's all, Joe.
Joe leaves. Opens it.
It's empty.
Can't be. Did anybody open this since yesterday?
Miss Hartleby?
Impossible, sir.
A film negative slips out.
What do you got?
Under a photo of three people, a note reads, "Refer to log of SS Grazi."
It was Dreyer's life insurance.
Where would an ex-sailor keep a logbook?
Dreyer was a very meticulous man. He kept a complete record of everything in his shop. In his shop.
Diamond returns to Dreyer's shop with Sam and finds Brown sitting at the desk.
If you're looking for the log of Grazi's yacht in the summer of 46, you'll find it in there.
Inside a large metal urn, a small fire smolders. They dump it out, and Sam stomps on the unrecognizable ashes.
Sam, get the DA's office and get a warrant for Brown's arrest.
On what charge?
Arson.
I got a court order issued this morning. It says that all the deeds, papers, and properties of this shop belong to me. Dreyer had 20%. The Bullamac Corporation had the rest, and I'm the Bullamac Corporation. Nobody else.
Not even Grazi?
I bought him out.
Why should the Bullamac Corporation be interested in burning that ship's log? Why?
Liquidation of assets, which is hardly a crime.
I'll wait until I can put you on trial for murder.
Whose murder, Lieutenant?
Mine, if necessary.
Don't push too hard.
It's my sworn duty to push too hard.
Diamond, the only trouble with you is you'd like to be me. You'd like to have my organization, my influence, my fix. You can't. It's impossible. You think it's money. It's not. It's personality. You haven't got it, Lieutenant. You're a cop. Slow, steady, intelligent, with a bad temper, and a gun under your arm. And with a big yen for a girl you can't have.
Sam holds Diamond back.
First is first, and second is nobody.
Yeah, the DA is out. I have his assistant.
Hang up, Sam.
Sam hangs up and follows Diamond out the door. Wearing a fine necklace, Susan sits in a private box at a piano recital. sits down next to her.
Go away, please.
It'll only be a minute, Miss Lowe.
Why here? Can't it wait?
No.
Well, what is it, please?
I've come to ask you a favor.
Do I owe you one?
I want you to leave Mr. Brown.
I've asked you to leave, Mr. Diamond. Now, if you don't, I will.
You think this is mink, Miss Lowe? You think these are the skins of little wild animals sewn together for your pleasure? You're mistaken.
Take your hands off.
These are skins of human beings, Miss Lowe. People who've been beaten, sold, robbed, doped, and murdered by Mr. Brown. I didn't come here to hurt you, Miss Lowell. You don't have to see me again or even speak to me again, but save yourself. Leave him.
How?
All you have to do is walk out.
Is that all, Mr. Diamond? You followed me long enough to know I can't. I live in a maze, Mr. Diamond. A strange, blind, and backward maze. And all the little twisting paths lead back to Mr. Brown.
I can't buy that, Miss Lowell. Not in a million years.
She looks him in the eyes.
Why do you want to change my life, Mr. Diamond?
My boss says I'm in love with you. I keep telling myself I'm just doing my job.
Is that why you came to see me?
No.
He pulls an envelope out of his pocket.
I brought you a present. You keep it or burn it just as you please.
What is it?
It's a photograph of Brown's wife. Her name was Alicia. You might ask him what happened.
As Diamond gets up and leaves, Susan looks at the photo of Brown, holding a woman beside another man. Later, Brown uses an adding machine to count cash in a vault filled with guns and money hidden in the back of a closet. Looking to the door, he presses a button and the back wall of the closet slides into place, sealing the vault.
Who is it?
Susan.
He opens the door.
It's only 10:30. Concert that dull?
Pulling down her fur wrap, he holds her close.
Take your hands off me.
Okay.
I want to talk to you.
Not now, later.
No, now.
Come here, I want to show you something.
He presses the button and reveals the vault. Susan steps inside.
What is all this?
This is my bank. I could have built this vault in my apartment, but that would have been too obvious. We don't take checks. We deal strictly in cash. There isn't anybody I would trust with so much temptation except myself.
He pulls her close.
Or maybe you.
Trust me.
Who did you see at the concert?
Nobody.
A nobody by the name of Diamond.
Then why do you ask? You know everything. But there's one thing Mingo and Fanti can't tell you. Whether I still love you.
What did Diamond tell you?
That he's in love with me?
Enraged, he grabs her arm, then smiles and lets her go.
Diamond in love? That's not possible. Any more than this clever machine.
The machine gave me a strange present.
What was it, a pair of handcuffs?
She hands him the envelope. And Brown looks at the photo.
I want to meet her. I want to meet your wife, Mr. Brown.
You can't.
Why, because she's dead?
No, she's alive. She's living in Sicily in Grassi's house.
He shows her another photo.
This was taken a month ago. Came one of her letters.
Why did she send it to you?
She wants to come back.
Why did you leave her?
I don't want to talk about it.
I do.
Can't you let me hold on to some pride?
I lost all mine with you.
She tries to walk away, but he grabs her.
All right, I'll tell you. I was in love with her. Me, a prison guard. It was for her I began to work my way up. All I had was guts. I traded them for money and influence. I got respect from everybody but her.
She did everything she could to humiliate me. She was always drunk, flirting with other men. I tried to straighten her out. I took her on a boat trip when Grazia had to go to Sicily. The day after we docked, she disappeared. I spent months looking for her. What do you think she was? Living in Grazia's house. He was a bigger man than me. Now you know who Alicia is.
Elsewhere, Rita walks into the lobby of an apartment hotel.
Well, 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 good evening, Miss Rita. How are you? How you been?
Lonely, Fred, lonely. I'm between shows half till 12 o'clock.
Mr. Diamond is out.
He grabs the key.
Would you like to go up there and wait for him?
Thanks. Will you tell me what he does with his evenings?
Work?
I'm going to kill that guy.
Don't you kill him. He pays his rent right on the dot. I'd miss him.
You and me both.
She heads upstairs. Meanwhile, Fanti rolls over in bed. He turns on the bedside light and answers the phone.
Yeah? No, I'm wide awake. When do you want it done? I understand.
Hanging up, he looks to the next bed.
Mingo.
What's wrong?
Mingo wakes up.
Mr. Brown wants an order filled tonight.
Who?
Diamond.
Soon after, with a neon burlesque sign flashing through the window, Fanti and Mingo slip into the hallway of the apartment hotel. They stride along the corridor. Mingo brandishes a machine gun.
It's open.
Go.
Fanti kicks down the door and Mingo sprays the room with bullets. Rita's hand falls limp. The burlesque sign continues to flash outside. Soon after, policemen and concerned residents fill the hallway. Rita's body is carried from the room on a stretcher, covered with a sheet. Sam joins Diamond in his apartment.
Leonard. Leonard.
What, Sam, what?
Whatever you're thinking, drop it. I won't bring it back.
Saks Fifth Avenue. She came to see me in her best shoes.
I'll call it Peterson. He'll put every available man on it.
Never mind, Sam. I said never mind.
Diamond grabs the phone and hangs it up.
We don't have to check bullets or fingerprints. This room has a name written all over it. Brown, Brown. He wanted to kill me. He got tired of waiting. Well, so have I.
What are you going to do?
Close the case.
I know how you feel.
Nobody knows how another person feels.
No, Leonard, sit up.
Sam tries to hold him back, but Diamond shoves him across the room. The two men stare at each other. Sam slowly climbs to his feet and advances on his friend. Diamond turns away.
Do me a favor. Take off your gun.
I treated her like a pair of gloves. When I was cold, I called her up.
He breaks down and cries.
Don't blame yourself. You go crazy.
The next morning, Diamond sits alone in his office when Sam lets Susan in.
I saw the papers this morning. I'm sorry. Terribly, terribly sorry.
Why, that it wasn't me? Say what you came to say.
I left Mr. Brown.
You're a little late.
Brown killed the girl in your apartment. His men did it.
Can you prove it?
No, I...
Can you prove that Fanti and Mingo did it? That he ordered them to?
No.
Sit down. Does he know you've gone?
He will. I opened his private vault.
Why?
I wanted to help you if I could.
What does he keep in the vault?
Guns and money.
It's no crime to have money or even to have a gun, only to use it.
I saw something else.
What?
Something about Alicia.
Can you prove that she was murdered?
No. I can prove that she's alive.
What are you talking about?
She's living in Sicily with Grazi.
That's impossible.
She pulls out the photo.
She sent this to Brown.
It's Alicia, all right. Years older than her photograph taken on the boat. She must be alive. But this photo was never taken in Sicily. There's snow on the ground.
Soon after, he examines an enlargement of the photo with Peterson, Sam, and their colleagues.
Yeah, it's the same girl, all right.
She sure changed since the other picture.
Could that be a fake?
No, sir. This was made with an ordinary wide-angle lens. Now, judging from the scope...
Never mind all that. Can you tell me when the picture was taken?
The original was printed on Farragam paper.
Well, what does that mean?
It wasn't on the market till a year and a half ago.
Frank, see that highway marker through the fence? Can you tell me what that is? Identify it?
No, I can't, but I'll check it right away for you.
Will you do it quickly, please?
Leonard,
yeah?
Alicia's alive. There's no murder. There's no case.
We may have an even stronger case. I've been in touch with our overseas military intelligence. They've been looking for Grazi for years, not to be found. And there's no record that he ever got to Sicily.
What about Bettini's story?
Bettini was right about a murder taking place on the boat. He was just wrong about the identity of the victim.
Wait a minute. Spell that out.
Well, I've been looking for the wrong murder. Brown didn't kill his wife. He killed his boss, Grazi. And that's why our intelligence couldn't find him. Grazi is at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean tied to an anchor.
It's a beautiful theory, Lenny. Beautiful. Except for one small item. You can't prove it. You have no witness.
Oh, you got it, Frank. Let's see.
State highway marker, 225A.
25A. Do you know where that is?
I can find it in 2 hours. It's a one-lane gravel road that curves west from the coast highway.
Later, people in wheelchairs sit on the lawn of an institution, watching a police motorcycle escort Diamond's car onto the property. Another car drives up, but stops. Joe sits behind the wheel.
I don't know why you've come to me, officer. My name is Anna Lee Jackson.
Are you sure you never took an ocean voyage?
Well, if I had, I certainly would have remembered.
Diamond interviews Alicia.
You really have a way with flowers.
Thank you.
What are these?
These are stock.
Beautiful, all of them. How do you do it?
Oh, you have to love them. They know the difference. Oh, my goodness.
What is it?
Caterpillar. Eating the buds.
Well, why didn't you kill it?
Oh, I couldn't kill anything. I can't even cut these flowers. People want to see them. They've got to come here where they're alive. Not withering and dying in a vase.
You feel that pretty strongly, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do.
I can tell you why you feel that way.
Can you?
Because you saw your husband murder a man named Grazi. I'll spell the name for you. G-R-A-Z-Z-I, Grazi. I have a photograph of you, taken 7 years ago. You can have it if you like.
Confused and startled, Alicia takes the photo.
The men are old friends of yours. One alive, the other dead.
She tears it up.
Now listen to me, Alicia. Brown, unfortunately, is not a caterpillar. He doesn't eat flowers. He devours people. I had a friend, a girl, 24 years old. She was murdered last night. Brown thought he was killing me. He didn't even know her name.
I don't hear anymore. Please, please, I'm sick. Can't you be? I'm sick.
You're sick, all right, Alicia. Sick with fright. Now you're in our custody. You have nothing more to fear. You know that because you're perfectly sane.
I'd rather be insane and alive than sane and dead.
Soon after, Fanti studies Mingo's bandaged hand.
It hurts.
If you can move it, it's not broken.
But it hurts.
Take a drink.
I took a drink. It still hurts.
Take another drink.
Honey, I'm trying to tell you. You don't understand.
They turn to the door. When Fanti opens it, Joe steps in.
Well, I got news. Big news. Brown is finished. The police found Alicia. She's going to spill her guts to the grand jury.
I said Brown's washed up, finished, off the map.
You say. That means nothing.
Grazzi says that's something.
There ain't no Grazzi. He's dead.
Since when?
7 years.
I've seen cablegrams.
Brown sent those cablegrams. Brown killed him. Brown kept them alive to keep the boys in line. Why haven't you guys been chaperoning this Miss Lowell dame? You want to know where she is? She's helping the police. Seems like Mr. Brown has lost his charm.
What would you suggest?
Kill him.
Fanti looks at Mingo.
Kill him tonight, not tomorrow. Mr. Brown will be dead soon enough. The boys will take care of him for his long double cross. But if we do it now fast, we'll save a lot of people a lot of trouble. We'll be in more solid than ever. Instead of running around for Brown and wet nurse and all his crazy dames, I'm going to show you two guys how to be men.
Start all over. Slower this time.
Late that night, at a small private airport, the headlights of a car cut through the mist as it approaches a hangar. It parks inside, and Joe and Brown step out.
We're early.
They said they'd land at 1 a.m. Didn't want to be late. I'm coming all the way from Denver.
Strange they sent word through you instead of the regular way.
This isn't regular. This is special. They said they wanted $200,000 in small bills.
I got it right here, but what's the pitch? Denver's usually a quiet spot.
I don't know. I asked them, but they wouldn't tell me on the phone.
Didn't they give any reason?
No.
What do you think it is?
We'll know soon enough.
Mingo and Fanti step out of the shadows, aiming machine guns at Brown.
Now, Mr. Brown, how do you feel now? Not so big, huh? You took my job. You took my hotel. You thought you could push me right off the earth. You punk. You accountant. You bookkeeper. Let him have it. Let him have it now. Right now.
They turn the guns on Joe.
Wait a minute. What's the matter? You fellas gone loony? I'm McClure. Can't you see me? This is McClure. Don't do it, Mango. I'll give you dough. All the dough I got, $10,000, $20,000, everything. No, Fanny, don't do it. Mr. Brown! Mr. Brown!
Joe tries to run, but he's trapped.
Mr. Brown, tell him not to do it. I'll do anything you want. I'll go away. You'll never see me again. Please, Mr. Brown, don't just stand there and let him kill me. Please, Mr. Brown, I don't want to die. Tell him. Please tell him.
Pushing aside Mingo's gun, Brown advances on Joe.
I feel sorry for you, Joe. So I'm going to do you a favor. You won't hear the bullets.
Takes his hearing aid. The machine guns blaze with light as Fanti and Mingo riddle Joe with bullets. Brown calmly walks away. At the station.
Sam.
Yeah?
Tell the captain I finished my interrogation.
As Diamond shuts off his intercom, Alicia looks up at him innocently. Peterson walks in. With Susan and Sam.
Miss Lowell?
Susan nervously approaches Alicia.
Are you a policewoman?
No.
Who are you?
My name is Susan Lowell. I'm a witness against Mr. Brown.
I'm not.
Susan turns to Diamond.
I can't do it. Haven't I humiliated myself enough?
No one's done enough while he's still free.
I've been Mr. Brown's girl the past 4 years.
He met lots of girls. They were all crazy about him.
I'm not proud of it.
Then why'd you stay 4 years? Why'd you start?
I don't know. No, that's not true. I was told, but I just wouldn't believe.
Take a look at her, Alicia.
take a good look, and you can see yourself 10 years ago. If you had only spoken up then, how different your life would have been. Because he killed you. He buried you alive. Because he's a murderer. That's all he is, a murderer.
Want to hear?
He killed Grazzi, didn't he? You saw him do it, didn't you?
I never said I did. Besides, Grazzi deserved to die.
And what about the girl he had killed 3 days ago? Did she deserve to die, too?
What girl?
You remember the girl? The girl I told you about at the sanitarium, you remember?
No, I don't.
Then I'll refresh your memory, this girl.
He shows her Rita's photo.
Someone he didn't know, never met, never saw. They took 11 bullets from her body. The following morning, Miss Lowell had breakfast with him. He ordered bacon and 2 eggs. Tell her, Susan. Tell her how he ate his bacon and eggs while he looked at the papers. And so the body of this girl lying in the morgue.
I'll tell whatever I know.
Take it to the DA's office for a statement. Mrs. Brown?
Alicia steps out of the office with Peterson and Sam.
Car 583, call your station, code 2.
Captain? Captain, this is Mr. Malloy, an attorney. I have a writ of habeas corpus for Mrs. Alicia Brown.
We have no Mrs. Brown here.
But I...
This is Miss Anna Lee Jackson.
As Alicia cowers in the corner, Brown stares at her from across the room.
Hello, Alicia.
Her mouth hangs open. And his curves into an evil, smarmy grin. Later, Diamond and Peterson leave Alicia's sanitarium room and step into the hall.
It's no use. We can't use her.
Well, not every case ends with a promotion. Your name in the papers.
Sam approaches.
McClure's body's been found in the river, shut full of holes.
Now, this is an act of panic. Mr. Brown is cracking. Sam, take the headquarters squad. Pick up Fanti and Mingo. First, Dreyer, Rita, McClure. They can't have alibis that'll stick for 3 murders.
Elsewhere...
Come on, Mingo, lay off of that stuff.
Mingo drinks from a barrel in a storage room under the hotel.
Mingo, lay off of that stuff, I told you.
Listening to Fanti, he pulls his head out from under the tap.
Gotta eat something.
Can't swallow any more salami.
That's all we've got.
Where is Brown? When's he coming? How long are we going to stay here?
We've been here 2 days or two.
I just can't take it anymore, Fanny. I tell you, my thumb's got an infection. It keeps aching worse than a sore tooth.
The cops catch us, it'll ache worse. The
cops, what can they prove?
They don't have to prove a thing. They got 3 warrants out for us, indictments for 3 murders.
So let them indict. They still can't prove. Can they?
Fanti holds the back of Mingo's head.
You know how long it would take for 3 murder trials. We'd be in jail for 3 years. Now relax. Brown will get us out of town until the heat blows out, and then we can come back.
How do we know we're safe here?
It's the safest place in the world. Grazzi built this place in Prohibition days. Not even the bellhops know it's here.
I'm sour on this town, Fanny. When we get out, let's never come back, huh?
Mingo touches his arm.
What I'm worried about is getting out of this hotel. The cops will be looking for us in every closet.
Brown walks in.
Thought you'd never come.
Just take it easy, boys. Look, it's now 4 p.m. At 5:30 tomorrow morning, the cops change shifts in the alley. I'll come for you then.
Did you get us a car?
Everything's arranged. Just keep your heads and wait. I brought you some food.
Brown pulls out a cigar box.
You've both been good boys. There's enough money here to take care of you for a long time. Divide it even, and don't fight over it.
When Brown leaves, Mingo grabs the cigar box.
How much you think?
Mr. Brown's a generous man.
I'll tell you after I count.
Give it here.
Taking the box, Fanti opens it with a pocket knife. There's a bomb inside. The room explodes. Upstairs, in the hotel restaurant, Brown cracks into a lobster shell. A waiter approaches and pours him more wine.
Police are downstairs.
Bring me another bottle.
Mingo is still alive.
Brown is taken aback.
He can't be.
He is.
Throwing back his wine, Brown gets up and leaves. In the hotel elevator, Sam presses the button for the top floor, and Susan waits nervously for the doors to close.
I don't want to go up there again.
There are things in Brown's vault you've got to identify.
The doors open. Sam is shocked. Stepping inside, Brown covers Susan's mouth and hits another button. In the storage room...
Who did this, Mingo? Mingo!
Who did this to you?
Nobody.
Who killed the girl named Rita? Who killed McClure? Who paid you to do it?
Nobody.
You've got third-degree burns, Mingo. You're dying.
I ain't gonna die. Not me.
Not you.
Diamond lifts the dying thug's head.
And not Fanny?
An officer uncovers Fanti's body.
Fanny? Don't leave me, Fanny.
He's dead. Murdered. Why, you ever try to kill you? You haven't got much time, Mingo. Tell us who did it. Do it for Fanny.
You shouldn't have done it. Fanny was a good friend. You should. All right. I'll tell you. But not for you. We play square with him. You shouldn't have hurt Fanny.
You haven't got much time, Mingo. Who did it? Who killed the girl in my room? Who paid you to do it?
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown. Leonard.
Peterson steps forward.
Sam's been hurt. Shot.
What?
Where is he?
In the hospital. He'll be all right. But Leonard, Susan's gone.
They head to the door.
Larry, get a statement signed.
At the sanitarium...
A man like Brown would have a plan. Where would he go to make a getaway?
You're a policeman. You find him.
Alicia cuddles her pillow.
He's not alone. He's got Susan Lowell with him.
I wouldn't raise a finger to help that girl. Let her go through what I've been through.
Well, she never hurt you, Alicia. He's the one who put you away. Why take it out on her?
Because I hate her. Her and every other woman who ever had anything to do with him.
What have I done to you? Why do you hate me?
Oh, I don't. I must
get... help me. Help me. Tell me where to find him.
I've got to get back to my flowers. I'm sure nobody's taking care of them.
Diamond paces.
Lieutenant. I don't want to help you. I don't. But I will.
At the private airport...
What's keeping that plane? I'm supposed to be here an hour ago. I've kept that stupid pilot on my payroll for years, just for a spot like this. Why doesn't he come?
When Susan lights a cigarette, Brown smacks it from her hand and belts her.
Don't try that again.
I want to be seen.
Don't try that again. Why doesn't he come? I've got everything all figured out. Top to bottom, smooth as silk. Everything's falling apart. Can't trust nobody, nothing!
Approaching headlights shine in on him. Brown dashes into the shadows, but Susan waits beside his car. The headlights remain on outside the hangar, then shut off. Backed up against the wall, Brown draws a gun.
Come on out, Brown.
He fires into the darkness. Susan remains by the car. Diamond walks through the shadows, and Brown fires again. Brown scans the dark hangar in vain.
You can't get away, Brown.
As Brown fires again, Susan realizes his car has a searchlight and shines it on him. He cowers from the light. He tries to run, but Susan's spotlight follows him. He fires at the light, startling Susan, then feels the wall for a door. Susan shines the spotlight back on him. He has nowhere left to run. Wherever he scrambles, Susan keeps the light trained on him.
You can't get away. Drop the gun.
Come and get it.
He fires again, but runs out of bullets. Diamond steps out of the shadows.
Come on.
He grabs his gun.
I'm taking you to jail, Mr. Brown.
You're not taking me to jail. You have to kill me first. Go ahead, shoot. Go ahead, kill me, copper, kill me. Go ahead, kill me.
Let's go, hoodlum.
Diamond tosses Brown into the arms of two waiting patrolmen.
I won't let that! Come on! Help! Help!
Diamond follows them to the edge of the dark hangar and looks into the night with Susan. They walk away together. Security Theodora Production.